Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to all you guys, too. These constant remindings of past failure, the ghosts of Christmas past may be haunting me, but it's about what's coming up in the future that might be haunting a couple of teams in the NFL, quite frankly. Jhené and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Gola Jr., Jhené Egbuamike. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Jhené, while we had to turn back the clock to relive my pain for Notre Dame football and what we have seen to Saturday, the Pittsburgh Steelers gave us another dose of that on Monday night. I'm not going to lie, Jhené, after the show all the time, we record these look-aheads for the next day that will air right now that try and get people to tune in. And, you know, we record one in case someone wins, in case someone loses. I recorded the lookie about the Steelers losing with such little gusto because I thought surely this team that had started off most of the football season undefeated and surely had looked like at least at worst the second best team in the NFL through most of the year would not lose to the hapless Bengals that are without even their future at the quarterback position in Joe Burrow. And last night we saw just that still.
Yeah, I was surprised because as yesterday you did that lookie, which I really wasn't even paying attention to because I was like, oh yeah, that's not going to happen. You know, that same thing when you were saying it, I was just like, oh, this is not realistic for real. They're going to bounce back. I mean, it's two game skid, but then it turns into three. Remember what I said yesterday? I was like, hey, this is a layup, right? But isn't this a must win game here for the Steelers? And I feel like what we've seen now is just the fact that a lot of their issues aren't things that can just be overnight fixes. I think that there's a couple things going on that might be bigger than what initially seemed. You lose a number of key players to injury. Devin Bush, Bud Dupree, Zach Banner, our friend of the show, Robert Spillane, James Conner out yesterday. And now we're seeing that, you know, this franchise that we talk about having the right foundation, well, there were cracks, and those cracks have really hurt them at least late in the season.
Yeah, Jhené, these cracks are starting to look like they're in the foundation, too. What this team used to be known for was dominance across the line of scrimmage, and yet I had a number of people reaching out to me last night going, what has happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers up front? What has happened to their offensive line? In about 10 minutes, we'll talk to a former Pittsburgh Steelers offensive lineman. Ramon Foster was the left guard in Pittsburgh for about the last decade, retired this year, and is doing a great job on radio, and I'm very curious because Marquise Pouncey, I'm pretty sure I just saw made the Pro Bowl again this year. Like Dave DeCastro, some of the guys that were key elements of that group are still there, and yet it seems like the Pittsburgh Steelers have no semblance of a true run game right now that I know isn't the be-all, end-all in 2020, but Jhené, in any sport, in any walk of life, if you can only do one thing, eventually people figure out how to address that one thing. And the Bengals defense, which had not been anything to write home about through most of the season, was coming up and laying the smackdown on Pittsburgh last night.
Oh, yeah. And like, that's the story, right? You know, you can't wait to play until the second half because you give enough, you know, energy and excitement to your opponent. And when you're talking about that first half, I think what you just highlighted was so important in the sense that, all right, that foundation where you have no protection or at least, you know, wounded protection, now you can't establish the run. You don't establish the run. You put more pressure on Ben to make big throws where this year that's been basically the opposite. He's been one of the quickest with his release when he throws. I think there was like a number early on in the season where he like releases the ball within 2.5 or so seconds. And then now it's just the combination of all those issues and all those problems that are now not being able to be quick fixes. We thought that these are something that like normally, oh, it's next manned up. Like, you know, we can figure out how to weather the storm. But no, those foundations, like you said, have been cracked. And you talked about how they left the opportunity wide open for guys like Ryan Finley and stuff. Ben failed to complete any of his 7 throws of 10 plus air yards in the first half. And a lot of those were off of deflections or they were being broken up or there was an interception. So it just is wild because when you put too much pressure on one guy, that's literally your weakness that you've been masking. Now that's being exploited by teams like the Bengals.
And it has a lot of people asking questions about that quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, who we heard the other day wants to play another season. We heard a couple of weeks ago say, maybe I don't got it anymore. That refrain, here was Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers starting quarterback, talking about whether or not he's 100%. Just kidding.
I don't think anybody that plays this game at any level, at any position, I should say, whether it's week 1 or week 16, feels 100%. So, no, I would say that I don't feel 100%. But I would say that I'm not consistent enough, which affects the offense because the ball's in my hand every play.
Chinay Ngolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike. And Chinay, I think it's just that the lack of consistency across the board. What you see last night is Ben Roethlisberger and this wide receiver core that was the overwhelming strength of the team. Juju Smith-Schuster, the story that was Chase Claypool through the early portion of this season. Deontay Johnson, all of whom now look lost, all of whom now don't seem to have an off-speed pitch for the things that were a part of the Steelers' offense that we did before, because, again, it's become predictable when you can't do multiple things in all of this. And so I don't know if there's an easy fix in this, Chinay. The defense still looks fast, especially on the edges, but they got gashed up the middle by the Bengals' run game. When the deficit was still in a place that mattered at the beginning of this game, when things still counted, this wasn't just rushing totals and wins that we go on. This was them being pushed around along the line of scrimmage by a team whose offensive line was so suspect going into the season, and the Bengals, that we question how long it would be until something bad happened to Joe Burrow. And so I'm not sure what you do with this group, Chinay, but as we get further and further along in the season and we talk about teams that we can trust in the AFC playoffs, the way that we've seen the Baltimore Ravens, Chinay, who have been decimated by injury, certainly looks a lot more promising than what the Steelers outfits put on display.
Yeah, and you look in the division, you even look at the Browns, and even though they're one game back, you look at them and you're like, wow, I trust in them because they're showing over time consistency, even though they have lost a few players. But, you know, it's funny listening to Ben Roethlisberger in that soundbite. It just took me back to, like, he was saying something that I think a lot of people might just hear and keep moving, but it hits different when you're an athlete. When he said, hey, at this point, like, no one's really 100%. And I feel like that's a fact. You know how that is. Halfway through the season, your freshness is gone. And I think that's the hardest part. That's the hardest point. Finding ways to stay motivated even against teams like the Bengals, where they know they're playing more free because there's no expectations on them. And I feel like they operate better that way. We've seen it most recently with the Eagles, where they had finally all the pressure sort of say, all right, we're starting this young quarterback and now we're going to turn things around and see, you know, they play a little bit more free. And now the top teams find out the hardest ways what that sort of feels like. So when he said that, I was kind of laughing to myself. I was like, you're right. But it hits different though when it's Ben, who is 38 years old and not 100%. It's sort of like, okay, if you have a younger QB in that position, like we've seen in different areas in the league, maybe they provide you a little bit more, even though his experience is great. But I do see that being an additional challenge for Ben, you know, maintaining his health, especially at this point, knowing that the season is wearing on him and on them, and that sort of has treated them in, you know, three losses in a row.
And Chinay, that's for the players that are still out there and able to go. Yeah. You documented before all the players they have that can't go now, all the shuffling they've had to do around this. They lost a game because the margin of error for Pittsburgh is small. Style of play-wise, it was always going to be small for them. But all of a sudden, you take that and you've got three turnovers in a game. The Bengals beat them throwing for 89 yards last night in that game. They beat them by 10 because, again, the Pittsburgh Steelers want to drag you down into the muck and make this a fist fight. Well, all of a sudden, three turnovers is going to make sure you come out of that getting knocked out on this one. Now, you can be a part of Chinay Ngolo Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call in line at Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr. We're also asking today, because the NBA season tips off tonight, Chinay is going to finish up her NBA preseason awards today. Very excited to get to that, the MVP round for that one. But we want to ask you, as we start to look to this NBA season, which Christmas movie reminds you most of your favorite NBA team? Because we've come up with some good comps in here, but we want to hear from you at Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr. on that Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football season is winding down, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you. Treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. What's going on inside that Steelers locker room today? What's the fallout look like for a Mike Tomlin coach team who's facing adversity? We're going to take this to one person who knows that better than anybody. We're going to talk to him next. It's Chinay Ngolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngolo Jr., the podcast.
Start the season undefeated, now, well, can't seem to ditch the funk. What do the Steelers do down the stretch here as we get closer to the playoff? Well, I only know one person that's up for the job. Chinay Ngolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike, and we're delighted to be joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by former Pittsburgh Steelers offensive guard and now co-host of J-Mart Ramon on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Ramon Foster, kind enough to join us here. And Ramon, we appreciate the time, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good, Mike, and I'll just say this. To be on you guys' show, man, is truly an honor. So thank you for having me, man.
Listen, we did the home and home. I came on your show a while back, and so now we finally got you. We got you out here, Ramon, and I wish it was under better circumstances, man. Like, we got to bring you in here the day after a Steelers loss on Monday night in that division. Like, this is first and foremost a wellness check, man. How are you doing at this point? The Steelers season gone a bit awry as of late.
You know what, man? Here I am. I'm covering the Tennessee Titans football team who are on the way up, and me being a former Steeler, fresh former Steeler, I'm dealing with the backlash of hosting this show a little bit. But it's all good because I know how to take it on the chin. Because why? That's what offensive linemen do, Mike. You know that better than anybody, man. But as a guy who's an alumni of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I will say this. I kind of called it a little bit in a sense of, like, when you depend on the defense the way they did, and it is still, to me, one of the best in the world. It's just that at a certain point when the offense can't do what they're supposed to do, it's sad because I know a lot of those guys still. I'm still closely removed from that team. But the weight of bearing everything to get a win, the defense is finally going to crack. And if the offense didn't do anything, man, to push along and say that, hey, look, we're at least efficient enough to close out the game to put up the big points consistently, then this was going to be the case. I'm not going to say it's one way or the other, but for sure the run game has to be a little bit better, man. And it hasn't been that. And just overall, the mistakes are starting to show their head because the later the season go on, the more film people get on you. The more film people get on you, the more they can break you down. And a lot of stuff you do in the earlier part of the year just won't fly in the later part. You guys know because you're fans of the game and you've been around the game long enough to know that, look, either when late November, December ball comes around, you're either ascending or descending. Coaches said all the time, you want to be on that roller coaster ride, but you want to be going up, and you don't want to crash out. And they still got time because they got a lot of talent on that team. But the last 3 weeks hasn't looked that way, Mike, and it's trust me, I appreciate the wellness check because I've heard it all and I've backed them. I've tried to support them every way I can, but it's not showing right now considering – the way the league is going for a guy who's an offensive guy, man. I've been playing a game. I was playing a game for a long time since middle school, man, since 1998, if I date myself a little bit. And I'll just say this. I never thought we would get to a part in the game to where we're saying, look, just have a potent offense, a very efficient offense. The defense can be middle of the road, and you're going to win a championship. But I think a team like Kansas City who has, if we're being honest, a middle-of-the-road defense, they got some dynamic players on their defense. They make situational plays for themselves, and they got a high-powered, potent offense. And that's the recipe right now with the current state of football for a championship. If I look at my Pittsburgh Steelers team, I can't say that about the offense right now unless they're willing to make, I guess, adjustments. And their offense to say, hey, we're going to put up points in a way that we haven't in these past 3 weeks.
If someone's going to find a way, I feel like you know better than anyone else, it's going to be Coach Tomlin setting everybody straight. But first, you're doing that for us, Ramon Foster, former Pittsburgh Steeler, who was literally in the trenches there in Pittsburgh for over a decade, here with us on Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Now, Ramon, it's interesting when we think about Coach Tomlin and how he's so focused and he's the heart and soul of that foundation. There have, you know, before we get to even anything on the field, a lot of conversation has been happening, especially on TikTok, when it comes to Juju Smith-Schuster and how he has this little thing where I'm going to be me, I'm going to do me, and I'm going to do my dance, which, by the way, he nails the dance. But the problem is that his team has lost after he has danced. What do you make of those antics and him wanting to be himself, even though that might seem contrary to their focus, which is actually accounting in losses?
So I actually went on Twitter a little bit yesterday, and I kind of defended it because we've seen this happen before. I kind of use the example, look, if you're going to be praising Juju when he gets suspended for a game for the hit they put on Burfict, and he's doing something before the game in the middle of the logo, like, which one are you mad at more about? Like, you praise him for something that's malicious and get suspended for what you're mad about, a TikTok dance. And I'll say this, he's been doing the TikTok dance, I think, for the most part all year long. And the reason it's highlighted now is because they're losing. So me being the guy that I am, I went from a young guy to being an old guy in the league, and I've kind of learned this along the way. That sometimes you either get with the trends or you get left behind a little bit. You guys in the sports media world, you know this a little bit too. I'm sure there's some adjustments or there's some things that y'all brought onto y'all show that other people are starting to do also, to whereas, you know what, you move with it a little bit. With Juju doing his antics on the field like that, I say this. He was praised by a lot of people. A lot of the national networks use his footage before the losses as far as their openings when talking about the Steelers also. And to Juju, you know, with him doing it, whether it's a lack of focus, whether it's disrespect, or whatever the case may be, I'm a firm believer. The same way that he came down on Vontaze Burfict in that game a few years back, that at some point, either if people are really that mad about it, meaning the people that are playing on the field, they're either going to try to fight him, which I doubt that because there's a fine behind it, or they're going to do what they did on Monday night. They catch him slipping. They caught him lacking. He come across the middle like that, and maybe that did add a little extra juice to it. But that's a him problem. It's how I look at it a little bit. The NFL rules doesn't restrict anybody from making those videos. Until they do that or until Coach Tomlin do that, then that's something that he's okay with. And I'll say this again. Everybody was fine with it when they were 11-0. And he told you he was going to do it again. If it was to me that – I mean, guys still post pictures and videos of the game in which they've lost. I'm anti-against that, but they still do it. And I'm just saying that to say the league changes. It moves along. Everybody's all about self-promotion because they can and they have that ability. So you got guys now that got more followers than the actual teams that they're playing on. That power, that notoriety, that ego that goes along with it. It's all a part of this new game. Nobody expected us to be able to go on the field with our phones and be able to make a video or listen to whatever song we wanted to. Heck, that's just the league. And again, as I said a second ago, if you don't like it, smack them in the mouth. And that's just what happened on Monday Night Football for the world to see.
We saw that more than a few times. Former Steelers offensive lineman Rome Foster with us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinua Ogwumike here. Ramon, we only got about a minute left here, but we know all eyes are focused in on your former quarterback. I know he's a guy that you know very well.
Yeah.
From what you've seen from Ben Roethlisberger, though, as this season's gone along, how much gas do you believe he has left in the tank?
Man, to me, knowing Ben for as long as I have, it's not a matter of how much gas he's got in the tank. He's always going to fight. We've seen that time and time again. To bow out is not in him, man. It's either he's going to go out in the field, like, getting stretchered off, or it's just his contract expired with him, man. He's the ultimate fighter. If he's going to find a way to do it, he can. It just sucks because I hate seeing him like this and being criticized the way he is because he's brought me so much joy with the way he's played over the past year. And sometimes the league might catch up to you, Mike. You know that Father Time wins every single time. And for a guy like him that's got everything, that's the ultimate competitor, it either got to come from the top or he's just got to have a coming to Jesus with himself about, all right, you know what, it's time to bow out.
It certainly is, and especially for the physical style that Ben's played for so long, those body blows, they eventually do add up. Ramon, we appreciate the time, man. And listen, this is still a team that is 11-3 right now that is going to be in the postseason.
Absolutely.
And so we expect to talk to you plenty as we go along this postseason with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the rest of the National Football League. We appreciate the time, brother.
Thanks, Ramon.
Shenangoli, absolutely, man. Anytime you need me, thanks.
Ramon Foster with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Again, spent his entire decade-plus career with the Pittsburgh Steelers, knows that team all too well, and sees the problems there clear as day, Chinua. That team has been relying on a defense, and eventually the dam gives way a little bit on this one.
I think we should start dubbing our own playoff correspondents, and he'd be a great one.
Ramon Foster, ESPN playoff correspondent for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Book that one. ESPN Radio has you covered for bowl game action. Also, tune in tonight for the RoofClaim.com Boca Raton Bowl presented by Merrill. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Now, we've got bowl season all around us right now. I see the famous Idaho Potato Bowl on my TV screen. We got to watch Marty and McGee roam the sidelines yesterday for the Myrtle Beach Bowl, the inaugural Myrtle Beach Bowl. But don't let all that fool you. We've got the NBA tipping off tonight for the start of its 2020-2021 season. Coming up next, which storyline has you most intrigued? We'll tell you our answers next. It's Chinua Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinua Ogwumike Jr., the podcast.
Listen, if we're talking about a holiday, I'm strangely optimistic. I might call it cause for celebration, not because we're getting the NBA back tonight, tipping off of the season. Yes, the one we just finished, it feels like. But did you guys see the preview for Coming to America? The sequel to Coming to America? Did anyone else? Chinua Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinua Ogwumike. Chinua, you look stressed out by this news. Did you see the preview yet?
I was top secret, almost in it. Almost! I tried.
The hell?
What, I was a little too late. But yeah, that was it.
My God, even her misses are makes.
Yeah, I tried, but then I found, like, they started everything a little too late before I found out. But yeah, so that was one thing that I really wish I was able to collab on. But
oh,
yeah. I mean, was like, come on, I'm your girl from Africa. Like, this would have been perfect. Yeah, like, I could be the daughter.
Oh, man, you
like,
could.
You know what I mean? And you know I come correct with the fits. Like, you know I slay with the African.
Hey, you missed a starring role in Coming to America, too?
Okay, not starring. I was like, let me just get a cameo. Let me just get in that, John. You know what I'm saying?
Janae, but
like,
that is so true, though. You would have been ready to rock one of those Zamunda fits with the Fury right now. Bro,
Janae, you would have had the dashiki out?
Bro, I don't wear dashiki. I wear Ankara, okay? Ashwabi. Like,
get
that's
right,
what
Cliff.
I do. Thank you, but I would wear a dashiki too as well. Whatever.
Ankara game crazy out here.
Ankara, thank you. And you said it right. Okay, yeah, I know we digress. Coming to America, I was so excited. I just was actually looking at this in the break, and I was so mad because I was like, I was like 2 weeks too late to actually being a part.
Damn.
It's okay.
You know what?
I know.
I didn't mean to bring up a bad memory. I was shocked today because normally sequels to all-time classics, and Coming to America is an all-time classic, give me a lot of pause. This one actually looks kind of... You could give me a whole sequel of just the barbershop scenes from Mighty Sharp, and I would buy in on that one.
I'm telling you. But also, I would like to give, you know, a high five virtually to Cliff because he came in with a Christmas song that I've been looking forward to hearing all December, and it was Lil Nas X Holiday. So, yes.
We love modern Christmas songs around here. That's why we had Jordan Sparks on here, Cider and Hennessy. It's the move right now heading into this Christmas season. But we know Christmas is also defined by the NBA. And so we have asked you at Janae at Mike Golick Jr., which Christmas movie reminds you most of your favorite NBA team? We'll get to that in a little bit on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. But Janae, going into tip-off tonight for the NBA, this
season has
turned around so quickly. I know you're excited for this one, Janae. We've got great matchups tonight. Golden State at Brooklyn tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern, and then the Los Angeles Clippers against the Lakers at 10. So I'd ask you, Janae, we've talked so much. We've done your NBA preseason awards, which we'll get the MVP round in today as well. But I'm curious for you, is there one thing in particular as we go into this upcoming season, another season that is going to be dealing with uncertainties, the likes of which we've never seen, that you're most looking forward to?
So there are a number of storylines out there. Obviously, the newest one that I care about largely is due to my roots in Texas with the Houston Rockets, particularly James Harden. Which new team will he probably go to if he still is unhappy and can't finish out a season there? I love the idea of following Steph Curry because people forget that that is the original babyface assassin out there that can shoot, and we'll see him tonight in action versus the Nets. I like the idea of a Lakers repeat as well, in the sense that, like, everyone's thinking maybe, like, is LeBron James now, if they repeat, he wins again, you know, another championship, and he's up towards 5 now compared to Jordan 6. It's going to be really interesting there. But my number one storyline, and I feel like we learned this the last few days with how much people actually care about this team, with how he used Sage. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant back in action. Kyrie missed a portion of last year. Kevin Durant has been over, I think it was 550-something days since he's last played a game where he tore his Achilles versus the Toronto Raptors in the NBA Finals. And let me tell you something, Junior. So, you know, I got my little sources out here. Like, I got my little people in the streets. And I had some people that actually watched KD live, and they were stupefied. They were just coming to this realization, like, this man may not have missed a beat and may be better than what we even thought. Like, I know a lot of people know he's coming back from injury, and I know they probably will roll him out a little differently, not giving him max minutes. But Kevin Durant has the potential to really just shut the league down because he's been able to work on his game with no contact, get his shot right, and now we'll be able to see him unleashed on the league, and that's something that we have missed.
Yeah, I think that's really it for me. Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Janae Agumake is just Kevin Durant, because the combination of him and Kyrie Irving is going to be what ultimately decides the season for them. But just getting back that player who, at the time of Kevin Durant's injury, we were talking about him as the best player in the league, and that's including LeBron James, who had missed that particular postseason, but who we all knew still existed. And I think even with that, what Kevin Durant has brought to the table has always been the most unique skill set in the league currently. And so if you get him back healthy, like a 90 to 95%, which is what we're hearing about the way that people described Kevin Durant coming off that Achilles, I mean, you're talking about a seismic tectonic shift that's coming back into the league. This is akin to hey, remember when we all forgot about LeBron James that postseason year and then he comes bursting back and leads the league in assists? Like, that kind of impact on the way that we're discussing this league overall. So I think you're right, Chiney, looking at that group, looking at these ones in particular, and I appreciate the fact that you were able to shy away from your Houston roots, everything going on with James Harden, because obviously that's probably going to take a backseat until we get to the trade deadline where we get to worry about that one.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem, but hey, I'd rather be all about positive energy this Christmas holiday, and that start, well, I don't know if the Nets are right for that, but at least on the court, they'll get buckets.
They will get buckets, plenty of them early and often, and again, that's going to start tonight. Golden State at Brooklyn. Kevin Durant says he feels no type of way about going up against his older team. I'm calling BS on that. I'm going to wait for the burner account to get retweeted tonight and find out what we really get feelings there. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Now, coming up next, it has been a year in 2020 where we've gotten to talk about strip clubs on the radio in a way that I did not think was ever going to be a real thing in my lifetime. So coming up next, we'll talk about a dumb thing that someone did that should not overshadow the actual evil, the actual thing we need to be concerned about within his organization. We'll do that next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Big believer in anytime someone says or does something better than you, just admit that, acknowledge it, and let them shine. And in this instance, I have to give credit to someone outside of the show. Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agbumike. Now, coming up in about 10 minutes, Chiney is going to keep going with her preseason NBA awards right now. We've got them rolling along. We're handing out preseason hardware as we get ready for the tip tonight. But, Chiney, the thing that someone did better was this tweet. Charlotte Wilder, a good friend, works over at Fox, does great job with their digital content there, tweeted this out. I know it's a played-out trope, but imagine seeing this headline last year. Haskins sorry for maskless photos with strippers. Imagine seeing that headline and trying to process that in the year 2019 when we were all so blissfully unaware of the hell that was coming our way. But, Chiney, that is exactly what we've got to reckon with here. As, yes, Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback of the Washington football team, has apologized for the maskless images of himself partying in a strip club that surfaced reportedly Sunday after their loss to the Seahawks. Chiney, I don't really know what there is to say about this other than this is a dumb thing, a dumb move. I saw people on Twitter rightly point out that it's selfish given the current parameters of the pandemic, the rules everyone has in place to do this kind of activity and put the other people working hard in your building at risk on this year in a group and an organization that we've talked about so much through the lens of the coach, the changes that they're trying to make. This seems to reinforce a lot of the reasons and a lot of the hints at immaturity that had been associated with Dwayne Haskins, who was benched earlier this season in favor of Alex Smith.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with this occurrence. Now, I understand that, you know, being younger and still trying to find your way in the league and on a team that has gone through a lot of change, and you alluded to that, where you bring in a new president in Jason Wright, you have a new coach in Ron Rivera, but both of those hires were significant because the idea was that they're trying to turn the page on what was the past and now move towards a future where they can be competitive. And we're in a position where, yeah, you come off of loss, but realistically, you guys are at the top of your division in the NFC East. And so to make this mistake when you literally have the rest of your season to sort of prove yourself and to show your focus and actually make something out of what this division for a long portion we thought was nothing, that is extremely disappointing. But I guess to the more social context of what he chose to do, just understand, even though if this, you know, being an athlete and being in the spotlight is not something that you expected to do, it is a responsibility because people see you as a leader in the regard, at least for your team, especially by position, and then also someone that should just be setting an example implicitly by having that space in place in the NFL. So there are a lot of problems here. I understand he's young, but I think this is the type of stuff that they are trying to at least get rid of.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that they're trying to get away from during this season, especially like John Keim, who's our ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Washington football team, was on ESPN Radio earlier today and said what the biggest problem with all of this was, not the location, but the way he was presented.
He went to a strip club, or there was an Instagram photo that showed him at a strip club hours later, which, you know, in and of itself, normal times, nothing wrong with it, but he's not wearing a mask. That's the issue. And so the team is aware of that. They have let the league know about that. Dwayne Haskins has apologized for that. That, in a nutshell, is what's going on. And I think the problem for Washington is that this is coming at a time where they have a chance to clinch the NFC East title on Sunday, and they may have needed him to play quarterback again, depending on Alex Smith's status. So,
Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because, Chinay, you look at that, and what he mentioned there is right. We hear all the time about athletes losing focus late in seasons that have no meaning. They're in first place in their division with a chance in the playoffs. Dwayne Haskins is getting a chance to start again, one that was taken away from him earlier in the season, and this was his response. Like I said, plenty of guys go to strip clubs in normal years, but knowing what's expected of you this season, it is insane that this is going on and something that we are talking about in all of this. Now, it should also be noted that people probably need to keep the focus on the right things when it comes to the Washington football team, because there was another headline that came out today about this team. One that, listen, Dwayne Haskins, what he did was dumb and selfish, but it wasn't craven. It wasn't so many of the things that we've seen around the Washington football team before. And today we saw a Washington Post article that said Washington football team settled sexual misconduct claim against Daniel Snyder for $1.6 million. Now, these are all, you know, accusations and things that are out there. We know this is an organization where ownership was very much publicly beefing with Dan Snyder before the season. There was a lot of talk of that unrest with some of the other people in the ownership group. This is part of an ongoing dispute there. But the report from the Washington Post says that a former female employee was paid $1.6 million as part of a confidential settlement back in 2009. The Washington Post viewed a copy of this agreement. The settlement was struck after a woman accused team owner Daniel Snyder of sexual misconduct, according to this article. The alleged incident occurred in Daniel Snyder's private plane returning from the Academy of Country Music Awards in Vegas that year. And in the settlement, reportedly, neither Snyder nor the team acknowledged any wrongdoing. And Chinay, it's just a reminder that, as you brought up, Jason Wright, what we've seen from Coach Rivera, all of this stuff has been there to mask the real systemic problems that have popped up over and over again for this team. The "where there's smoke, when there's fire" metaphor has never felt more apt here. Again, we know these are all accusations. We know this is all alleged. But Lord, it just is over and over again with this organization and with this particular owner.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, those changes that they made, especially in the front office or even on the field when it comes to building a culture, hopefully will be the longstanding, you know, changes that will actually affect them moving forward, now dealing with their problems of the past that will, you know, as we've seen with one settlement come up that allegedly the person affected is using that way and that method and that mechanism to, you know, figure herself or himself, however the case is, out. You know, so for me, I just think that the big picture here is that hopefully these changes starting now, you know, will actually put them in a better direction so that that stuff that will no longer happen, and you can keep that in the past as long as these people are, you know, able to at least make a future for themselves and handle that in the way that they can best see fit.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And Chinay, I would say this. We need to just keep the focus there, right? Because change doesn't happen clearly, especially in these big organizations. We talk about it all the time, unless people are constantly reminded. So, yes, we are right to criticize what we saw from Dwayne Haskins, but make sure we keep the energy in the right place for Daniel Snyder and the rest of this organization. Chinay Golick Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance, and we are looking forward to, in a more positive note, what tips off tonight in the NBA. But what to expect this season? Who's going to hoist the important hardware? Chinay's NBA preseason awards coming up next. Let's give out some MVPs here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golick Jr., the podcast.